Dismantled, a podcast inciting curiosity, inspiring truth, and modeling deliberate space-taking on personal, social, and historical issues for people of the sun, the displaced diaspora, lifting love, discourse, solidarity, and liberation.
All right, welcome everyone to Dismantled. I'm really excited that I'm back with these amazing women. We're back after a hiatus, a long hiatus. Lots of things have happened since then. Lots is on our mind. I'm Cynthia.
This is Marquita.
This is Asia.
And this is Maria Cristina.
And we're Dismantled Crew, and we're coming together today, and we're going to talk about a few things that are on our minds since we are, you know, getting back in our zone and sort of coming together and talking about our lives and a lot of issues that are on our minds. So first, we're going to start with our usual calling in. And would someone like to start? I want to call in again. She's just been so much on my mind, and I feel like I haven't been able to. I want to call in a couple of people. I want to call in Anna Love again. And I mentioned this in the Latinx episode, but she's just really on my mind, and I feel like our groups are really, really sad. Anna was a grandma who would come to our meetings at Monarch Academy. She was an amazing elder Black woman who was so involved in her grandkids' education and so wanted to create bridges between the Black community and the Latinx community. And she had so many plans, and she would come every month and sit at the front of our meetings. And she had this beautiful smile. And she passed away now a month ago, due to complications of an operation. And we discussed this with our group for the first time this year. And our families were devastated. Some of them didn't know. There were a lot of tears in the room. Miss Anna, Miss Love, she was love. And she brought in as much as she could to the families. And she educated many of the families who are recent immigrants around the civil rights struggle and what she did to put her body on the line to defend civil rights, Black African-American rights in the U.S., and she just brought so much knowledge and joy to our group. So I want to call her energy in because she is an ancestor and an elder that we all learned from, and I really loved her. And I also want to call in Salvador Avila. He is, Mr. Avila is Rocio Avila's father. And she, as you all know, is sometimes part of the Latinx Dismantled crew. And he was killed in a car accident about a month ago. And one of the things that struck me so much about him was his kindness and how much he influenced my girl, Rocio. She's now an employment lawyer, and he was, for 40 years, worked in janitorial services and was a staunch union member, an amazing father, a soul, a husband, a brother. And my friend wrote this beautiful letter thanking him for a life of integrity as an immigrant man working in the States and working hard for his family. And I just want to lift him up. And I want to lift Rocio up because I know that this is devastating for her. And you've been on my mind, Rocio, and we love you very much. So that's who I'm calling in, Salvador Avila and Anna Love.
This is Marquita. I am going to call in Strength. And I wasn't going to call this in, but then I heard you say integrity. So I want to call in strength and integrity because I think that those are two things that our country are operating on. I think POC are operating yes. on a source of strength, trying to come together in solidarity. And the lack of integrity that our government is mm-hmm. showing towards all the injustices that are happening. So I want to call both of those things in.
Thank you.
I'll go. So this is Asia. I have three things to call in that I wasn't expecting. But so I want to call in respite, one, because there's so much going on right now. And I mean, I know I don't have any control over any of the things that are going on, but I just hope that, you know, people in different areas can get a break from some of these like natural disasters and also like man-made injustices that are happening around the world. And also I want to call in relaxation. Just I was feeling really tired when I was coming over here, and I was like, I just want to relax. I just want things to calm down. Like, there's so much happening, and I imagine that things will continue to happen, but just for a moment, if I could feel relaxed and like there can be some respite for all of us from like some of the stuff that's going on. And I also want to call in remembering, because when we were talking earlier before we turned on the mic, Cynthia said something about how we're so dependent on all of these like things, even things like electricity, and I feel like I, in this time that we're in, like, stuff is getting crazy. I don't know, like, what's going to happen. Like, things are happening in so many different parts of the world where I feel like we really do need to remember some of our, like, old, indigenous, ancient ways of survival. And people are doing that. And I feel like I need to get in touch with that for myself, because who knows what's, you know, what's around the corner.
Yeah.
So respite, relaxation, and remembering.
Thank you.
The three R's.
Yeah.
R and R and R.
Yeah, R to the third power.
Thank you for saying that. I the word respite really resonated. I'm going to take that with me today. I think I'm going to call in my fellow Puerto Ricans tonight. I'm just going to those in the island, those in the diaspora, I'm just going to call them in. And all of us have been going through a really tough time right now. And I'm just saying that I am here and I'm seeing all of you. I'm keeping all of you in my mind. I'm loving all of you.
Thank you. Those are really powerful. It's so good to be back with my sister friends, and I just wanted to go into now for us to go into a moment of victory or a moment of challenge. I can start because I'm really feeling super good right now, and I want to thank Asia, Marquita, and Maria Cristina for being in my apartment with me and making me feel grounded. There's a reason we started this, and this feels like a moment of triumph within the last couple of months. I've just been kind of down and really stressed out over work and like really beating myself up, and being with my friends and my crew from Dismantle just is feeling really good, and it's making me feel, you know, there's other things out there and we're trying to do what we can to address some of it. And as really sad as the world can feel sometimes, I feel like it's a triumph that we still find time to get together and to call in these important energies and words and folks, people of the sun. Yeah.
I'll second that. I'll say my moment of victory is in this moment right now too. And I'm just having a good day. Today's been a good day, so it feels full to be here right now at 6:43 p.m. Starting the day early. And had a cute little meeting with my housemates. I have like a little communal living thing happening right now. We had our first meeting as like a group and had brunch, and it was really good, and we had champagne, and then I went to Free the Cheeks. That's my like normal Saturday thing. So it was just it's been a good day. Like, I've been around a lot of women of color. I'm happy to be back. This always feels a lot of ways to be with you guys, and it's been a long time, and it feels important that we're together right now.
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
I was gonna say the same thing.
Cool.
So I'm sitting here trying to think, what else can I share? But I was already feeling the gratitude mm-hmm. that we are coming together again. So that definitely feels like a huge victory for me, given the craziness of what this week has been. And yeah, I'm looking at your faces. That's a victory.
It has been, as a crew, when we started, this is Marquita, when we started the podcast, very ambitious and very, aspirational, all those things. And we've talked about this on the Blackout, but I don't know, it's hard to explain that all the stuff that we talk about on this microphone and we put out there into the world, like all of it becomes true. It becomes like a living thing, like, and it sort of then directs sort of our life from that point on. And it's been hard to come back together. Mm-hmm. And so I want to acknowledge that, like, there's been a huge break since we've been able to get back into a rhythm, get back into a groove. So when you hear all of us calling in this moment of victory of all of us being around this table, it's a real victory. and also, I am recovering from a surgery, and I want to call in the victory of sort of my body speaking to me and making me slow down. And the victory of, like, trying my best to listen to it, which is super hard. And really letting go of the stress of being a professional defined the way that we get socialized into understanding mm-hmm. what a professional is. It feels really good to, like, not give a fuck about mm-hmm. the system that I work in, what they think about me, how I utilize my time, and beginning to define for myself what does my time look like. So yeah, we got some huge victories.
That is very powerful. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we wanted to get together and sort of just talk about what's on our minds this week, and has been on our minds. There's a lot going on, as everyone said, and Asia, I want to say, I think, something that you said in terms of, like, relaxation, thinking of those three R's, it's tough times right now. Personally, I before we started, Maria Cristina got here first to the apartment. And I also want to shout out, right before I go into this, the drummers outside, because I love that they drum and that they're giving us energy right now. This is a lake, and as all you know, at some point there have been new folks, probably white folks, I'm going to keep it 100, that moved to this neighborhood and did not want to hear drumming and complained and tried to get it to stop. And POC, we're seeds and we keep growing, and the drumming is here, and it's giving us, some energy and life. Drumming is energy and life and culture and color, and I'm so happy that they're here tonight. Maria Cristina and I were talking, and as she was talking about what's going on in Puerto Rico right now, I started crying. And I think, yeah, it's about Puerto Rico, but also, I've just been noticing a lot about really powerful women around me and just how life and this work, Marquita, you saying, like, not giving a fuck, like how we as POC women work so hard to, like, do our jobs and then go even above and beyond that, like sharing our thoughts and trying to fight for equity. And then, like, our bodies just, like, at some point not being able to, to meet us where our brains are sometimes, and, like, really saying, I'm going to stop. That's really tough. And I see it around me on so many brilliant women of color that are around me, going through shit, with their bodies reproductively or, other illnesses, cancer, migraines, body pain, muscle pain, you name it. And then we're holding, like, a lot of us have loved ones that are going through a lot of pain. And us carrying that around every day while still trying to be, like,
Warriors. Mm-hmm. Survivors.
Yeah. And that's why I think as POC, I'm teaching right now, and I think my POC students are brilliant because they're there thinking, writing, putting themselves out there. And everything about our system, they weren't supposed to get there. You know, the way the system works, I wasn't supposed to be at this university teaching. We see it in examples every day. Like, looking at what's happening with Puerto Rico and different places, I mean, it's the same as what happened with Katrina. Mm-hmm. It's racialized.
Yeah. It's all political.
It is. In our lives, we're constantly being told, subliminally or overtly, mm-hmm. don't matter mm-hmm. to white U.S. government, to institutions.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about was how there's always a lot going on, mm-hmm. but right now it feels like I don't know which direction to go into, mm-hmm. sort of what do I stand up for, what do I speak up for with the natural disasters that are happening, the earthquakes that happened in Mexico, the hurricanes that have happened in Puerto Rico, that have hit, you know, Florida, that have also hit Texas and Louisiana, you know, this take a knee stance with, you know, with the fucktard, calling people's mamas, sons of mm-hmm. bitches, and, you know, and then, you know, most recently, earlier today, the NBA decided to put out a statement saying that, you know, it is basically mandatory that you have to stand for, you know, that fuck flag and this fuck anthem. There's just a lot going on right now. And it's like, do you guys understand what we are trying to say? We are trying to live.
And like, there was also, like, another a ban, right? That he...
Oh, yeah.
About now it's, like... The even Muslim people, ban. There's, like... Yeah. Like, it's not even Muslim because he's also... I think people from Venezuela also. It was included in the... I mean, I'm not 100% sure. I think I did read this. It's all over the place.
Yeah. There's injustices everywhere.
And, you know, immigrants, too, are being targeted to the max. You know, of course, have been targeted for a long time, but then with DACA mm-hmm. being resigned or rescinded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, what the hell? I mean, these things are happening all the time in different ways. In a chronic way, right? In like a chronic way.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's chronic. And then at this point, in this moment, it feels very acute, like all of it is intensified in a very, like a huge way. In like, it feels like traumatic, like the trauma's happening in like the actual like events, right? Like mm-hmm. events, mm-hmm. you know, are like, not that the trauma wasn't there before, but it feels like it's acute.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, and I've been like, you know, it's easy to blame Trump, but I think a lot of people, I've heard, like, in passing, people say, I'm blaming Trump, and this has all been here before, but I'm also trying to understand, what is it about? Why is it so in our face? There's no way anybody can turn a blind eye to anything that's happening mm-hmm. now. I don't know, just what feels different as to why is it so all... right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been thinking about that too. I mean, is it access to the media quicker? Is it that we have so many of our people are living in so many different areas? We're hearing like firsthand accounts of what's happening. Things are very overt. I gotta wonder about like forcing NBA players to stand for the national anthem. Is that unconstitutional? I gotta wonder about people's rights. I mean, if you don't want to stand, you know, there's just so much of that's in question right now, and the blatancy of like this is just. I mean, is that a level of fascism?
I don't think anyone can force you. I mean, that's a right people have.
No, nobody can't force you to do anything. You have to choose to do it or not. But you know,
they can say, "Oh, we're not gonna." Like they did, like Colin Kaepernick, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like no one forced him, but then now he doesn't have like the contracts, right? Like mm-hmm. He doesn't have a job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about your question, Marquita. I don't know if you had a particular answer in mind.
What question?
Why now? Why does it feel everything. Like more evident now or more in our faces? Or mm-hmm. I don't know. It's something that might be like an unpopular reason came to my mind. But I was reflecting on the whole situation about Puerto Rico and how really in the beginning when the hurricane hit, it didn't get a lot of press. But the more, like, how do I say this? So the press that's been, like, kind of, like, getting into the... Okay. So many people may know this, but, like, there was this, like, politician in Puerto Rico that made some comments, and then Trump responded to them, right? And so now the media, like, all these big media companies are, like, picking up the story. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, well, a part of that is good, you know, people are listening to this, right? But then I thought, is it because it's about, like, Trump and how, like, if this was a Democrat government, if it was not, like, a crazy president and, like, you know, with the whole media also infrastructure, it's a battle with him and all of that, would we be listened to, you know? Like, if... Would there be coverage if it wasn't because Trump is in the middle of it as well? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because I feel like sometimes when there are other kinds of... When the Democrats are in, you know, are the presidents or, you know, with Obama and all of that, a lot of these things were happening and they weren't getting as much coverage, yeah. You know, like... Thinking about DACA, for example, like he did sign that executive order, but his administration deported so much more people than other previous ones, and so I feel like, you know, no, I feel like when we have like a super crazy racist oppressive government here in the U.S., then like. And conservative, then, like, you have, like, a lot more... You hear more about things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're trying to say. I mean, that was one of the things I was worried about if Hillary got into office, which would be...
It's like a status quo, right?
A status quo. Yeah. Like, everything would resume as usual. People would go back to feeling comfortable in a way where you can have the option of dialing in or dialing out, but Trump keeps a lot of conversations alive and at the forefront. You have no choice because he's a fucking idiot.
It's a triggering.
Idiot.
It's like...
he's tweeting all over the place stupid shit and he's doing stupid shit.
And violent shit, you know, like...
That was one of the things I was worried about if Hillary got into office. It was like many conversations would go back to being swept underneath the rug. Mm-hmm. And here we are and they're not swept underneath the rug anymore. And it's like...
It's such a bind because, like, it's not like you want you don't want this
Trump.
Just to have the conversation alive, right? It's like a trap. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, how do
Where
we liberate ourselves?
Where's the humanity?
Yeah, and liberate ourselves from all this crap, like all these games, because it feels like a game.
It is a game. I just keep remembering. When
your face
he's like, I can't talk about this.
But remember when Kanye West I keep remembering this because I was watching it and I was all, damn, he's doing it right now. Like when he said Bush hates black people and he looked scared and worried. Because we all know when you speak out...
This was the old Kanye.
Yes.
Because he met Trump, right?
This is pre-Trump.
This is pre-Kardashian.
Yeah, pre-Kardashian. But, you know, and he knew, like, the cost could be heavy. But he got that moment. And the dude, the white dude standing next to him, who the hell is he? He's like, he's a comedian.
Was
he used
it
to
Chris
be
Tucker standing next to him?
No, it was a white guy.
The man from Austin Powers.
Austin Powers was basically standing next to him and shit. And like, Austin Powers looked over at him like, what the fuck? I didn't sign up for this shit, right? And in that moment, I'm like, dude, if you only would have manned the fuck up, white man, and like stood there and said, he's right. This is some bullshit. And this is fake. You know, like what we're doing right now, like the fact that we have to go and bring quote unquote superstars to raise money for New Orleans, within a state of the United States, and FEMA and all this controversy that was happening. And like Kanye really put it into play. Like he, at that moment, you know, that took a lot of guts. And I keep thinking of that. And, like, I'm seeing, like, right now, like, I feel like Kanye got a lot of shit for that, right? And then I, like, see tweets right now from, like, Mark Anthony, who literally, like, on a tweet was like, Trump needs to shut the fuck up and just, like, do some shit right now, right? But at the same time, like, I don't want to dismiss the fact that these are people in some ways putting their bodies on the line in different ways, right? Like you see history and black folks putting their bodies on the line, like literally like getting, you know, putting their life on the line to
stand up.
To stand up.
Speak up, speak out.
Yeah. And then now it's like I see folks like Kanye and really this government, they figured out it's like money, capitalism, like we're going to attack you through this way. Like, you're not going to make money. You're not going to get a contract. You're going to be, you know, Colin Kaepernick's over here like, here, I don't have a contract, but here's $25,000 to people in DACA. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, all these folks that are just like, we need to, you know, do this for our own. And part of me is like, fuck yeah, you know, people need to band together and like take a stand. And at the same time, like, what is this government about? And I'm not going to even say our government, because I'm not going to pretend and sit here and feel like this government has our interests, the four of us in mind. But where is this going? That's what I'm wondering. Like, where are we going in all this?
I mean, Trump made it very clear, making America great again, as in making it what it has and what it has always been, which is racist, and upholding white supremacy. That's what the government is. But you said something, Cynthia, about, and are either Maria Christina, you said it, I'm not sure, but thinking about all the different ways in which people are speaking up,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I sometimes get caught up in, like, what should I be doing? Should I be doing more? And I know we've had this conversation before as well. I think it might have been right after the fuckery got elected into office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you taking to social media? Are you calling, you know, your representatives? Are you going to protests? Are you going to these places and speaking up? Or are you praying? You know,
mm-hmm.
like what you could be doing could be something different. And I know we're not all doing the same thing, but being kind to ourselves about whatever it is that we're trying to do. And I think holding, you know, Asia's three R's in mind,
mm-hmm.
making sure that you're taking respite, making sure that you're relaxing, and also sort of getting to this organic place within yourself about sort of what does your fight look like. It's complicated. I don't know, but I've just been feeling overwhelmed about there's so much, and I don't know sort of where to pull my direction in. And at times feeling like, am I holding everything? Am I holding enough? Crazy. Because
mm-hmm.
we ask ourselves that question
mm-hmm.
when nobody else is asking themselves that question
mm-hmm.
or when white people aren't asking themselves
yeah.
that question. Am I missing something? Am I leaving something out? And then I have to remind myself, you know what? You're doing what you can do. And I think that's one of the things I definitely wanted to like put out there to everyone. You're doing what you can do. And there might be some things that you're leaving out, but that's when community comes in because, you know, my girl Cynthia or Asia or Maria Christina might be holding a piece of the struggle that I can't hold. But knowing that you're surrounding yourself with people who can hold whatever piece that they can hold, and then together you guys are all holding up everything.
Yeah.
I think I haven't been saying anything because I was having a hard time, like, jumping into the conversation. One, because I don't like to talk about Trump because I just don't like to give that any energy. And then two, I was, I don't know, now after hearing Marquita say what she just said, I think I was feeling something similar, like, and also just really kind of feeling that there's so much happening globally that it was hard for me to think about, like, it's overwhelming, and I'm like, well, what really matters? Like, if I was in Puerto Rico right now, or if I was in Houston, I probably wouldn't be, I wouldn't be in this conversation. I would be trying to survive. And like when it comes to, and I also am like holding in mind that we live in the Bay Area, and I keep thinking like we're going to have an earthquake soon. Like I'm really like having a lot of existential thoughts lately because of everything that's going on. Like I do feel like things are just coming to the surface energetically in a way where there, it demands a shift in the energy, which requires like some destructiveness or something, and that's what we're going through, like, on lots of different levels. But I'm like, the only direction I feel like, the main direction I feel like I have to go in is, like, internal, is inside or something, in order for me to figure out, like, well, what is my, like Marquita was saying, what part can I hold? Like, I really have to, like, do some real work to go inside of myself to figure that out, because I'm just like, it's really real out here right now, like all over the world, and it just feels like we're likely all going to be put in positions where we're having to like fight for our survival. And so like, what does that mean? Like, that means I really have to be in touch with like what my intention is, what my internal resource is, so that I can be able to offer that to the community. Or I need to be able to, like, get along with people so that if my lights are out, like, I can go ask my neighbor and, like, we can be together. Like, it's very primitive things, but when it comes down to it, I feel like that's what matters. Like, what's going to matter is, like, do we are our family safe? Like, do we have food? Like, are we able to not cuss each other out and, like, be in space together? Like, how do we get, how do, like, remembering those very basic kind of things. And I think that that's where I'm at, and it was hard for me to like get into the political conversation because I'm like, what if, like, I don't know, like we might be faced with like death tomorrow because so many people, it's just, it's a lot, it's very overwhelming. So it's bringing up existential questions for me.
I really like what you said about getting to the basics on like, do I get along with my neighbor? Because that makes me think a lot, you know, because I natural disasters were in some ways, like, I feel privileged in that I haven't had, like, a natural disaster other than the earthquake of 89 in San Francisco. And that was really fucked up because I lived in the Mission in a really old building that was going to get condemned, and I was seriously stressed out. And nobody gave a fuck, you know. I went to school in a neighborhood that was way higher SES, and, you know, people didn't care. But what I do remember was that people were helping each other. And in that neighborhood, we knew each other. And it's like, I don't have any batteries, but here's some batteries for the radio, you know, and let's sit out in front. My dad walked all the way home from Stanion and Hayes to 22nd and Mission, 22nd and Folsom to our home. And, like, what those following days were like. I remember being with my mom as the earthquake was happening and watching like our walls disintegrate, some of them, and like feeling so scared, and my mom praying in those moments. And so I think what you're saying is so deep, Asia, because connection is so important. And like, I can't say that I really know anybody in this building now that I even live in. I don't talk to my neighbor. She's a white woman. She might say hi to me, may not some days. And that is a very good point. Like, how am I building community even on my block? Like, the other day I saw a woman next door who happens to be Guatemalan, and she saw my purse and she was like, oh my God, your bag is Guatemalan. I'm Guatemalan. My son's graduating today. Oh, I've seen your parents. Like, that sort of conversation that folks in my building don't have with me, mm-hmm. but this woman like stopped me on the street as I was walking to my car, and it felt so good. It felt kind of like what would happen in the neighborhood I grew up in, where we were like.
Mm-hmm. Why is it like that?
Yeah.
That people don't know their neighbors here. I don't know my neighbors either. I mean, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I came home after a bomba practice at 10 o'clock. I get on the elevator and I got trapped in the elevator. And I was ringing the alarm nonstop, no one came. Mm. I was more pissed at the fact that at 10 o'clock, I bet there's people in their homes, yeah. right? Like, there's not, like,
the whole building
is empty at 10 o'clock at night, right? Than actually being stuck in the elevator. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I had to call from the elevator. Like, I was able to get some reception and call the company, and they told me, okay, we'll get there. And eventually, Eddie, my partner, came out from the shower and he heard, you know, the situation and responded. But, like, I was like, seriously, mm-hmm. no one? Yeah. No one cares.
That's a big building. It's not a small building.
No one gave a fuck. Mm.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, if I had been alone there, I think I was just, I don't know.
Girl, I'd still be there. What the fuck? Until somebody needs the elevator,
the
right?
The next morning.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Connection is so important. Why... You brought up a really important point.
I feel like there's so much, there's been a lot of creation of borders and like separation.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that fucking word, I hate that.
That is one of the worst words that psychiatry has introduced to helping and healing people. It is fucking bullshit.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's there's so much separation, even like,
compartmentalizing things,
everything. Mm-hmm. Like, even when I was driving to work the other day, I was like, I just got weirded out because I was like, everybody's in their own little square mm-hmm. with the wheels and going in one direction, yeah. and we all go into another tall wreck. Like, we go into these little
boxes,
and like, is that what life is supposed to be? Am I supposed to just be doing, like, I feel like what I'm supposed to be doing is maybe like getting to know my neighbor or like mm-hmm. sitting outside. I don't know, like being yeah. with people, but we spend a lot of time in my car driving, mm-hmm. then get into a building,
go into an office,
act like I'm doing something.
Yeah.
You know, and then yeah. get back in my car, come back, yeah. go into my own house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Agree. That is, it really is very powerful. Because I think that too, lately I've been feeling a lot like, is this what life is about? Is this really...
This hamster wheel?
Yes. Mm. Is this really what all these goals have been about, is to just get into another hamster wheel? And how am I, like, really making a difference in how things that make me really sad and are happening? And it is true. It's we need connection. And I see my parents try and do that. They're very old and... They'll, like, call me and they're like, what's happening with Maria? Have you seen the girls you do dismantle? You know, they're always checking in.
Oh, my God. My mom.
Yes.
I spoke with her yesterday, yes. and she asked me about your parents.
Yeah.
I spoke right. with her. Yeah. The phone is breaking. I'm trying to figure out if she's fine. And she's like, what about Cynthia's friends? How are your friends there?
Yes.
Yeah, they did ask about you the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it is a generational thing because my yes. grandparents ask about my girlfriends that I went to college with,
yes.
how their parents are doing. Like, if they ask about people, I'm like, why are you still asking about them? So something has
they
happened across
you're
the generations.
Still in connection with them.
Of course.
Because they like, would be.
But they're like, you know, I know that this is someone that you care about, someone that you love, someone who you've been in, you know, a relationship with. So that I need to ask about them.
Yes.
I need to know that they're okay, too. And I
yes.
need to know that their parents are okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We need to do more of that.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. You know, what were you going to say?
No, I just feel that, I mean, this is one of those ways in which I think individualism and capitalism has really disrupted us from that. Like you were saying, remembering that Asia.
Yes.
You know, and I think that there was another time that it was different. And at some point, we lost those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and maybe I'm speaking for everyone, and it's not everyone. Maybe it depends where you are.
I think, well, yeah, because... Yeah, I think it depends on where you are and also sort of whatever is going on for you. Because I'm thinking about when hurricanes come and when they hit South Carolina or sort of when they're predicted to hit South Carolina, like everyone comes to one house. Everyone comes to my grandparents' house. Mm. And people know, like, this is where we're going to ride this out and we're going to ride it out together. And, you know, my brother just moved there and from California, so he's not really with the program yet. And he tried to stay in Charleston instead of going to my grandfather's house. And he really hurt my grandmother's feelings.
Aww.
Like, you need to bring your butt here. This is how we do things. We get through things together.
Yes.
And he's, you know, coming with this very Western California mentality
yeah.
of like, oh, I'll be okay. I'll make it. And the thing is, no, as a family, we make it together.
Yes.
But those things, but, you know, just in the sort of geographical distance between
yeah.
California and South Carolina, at least for my family, there's a huge difference in how we operate out here versus how we operate as a family in the
yeah.
South.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Thanksgiving, I need to be there. If I'm
yeah.
not there, like, it needs to be, like, a really, really good excuse as to why I'm not there, because this is when the family comes
mm-hmm.
together. A lot of that feels lost out here sometimes. I think it's geographical as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That makes me think about just like travel in general and like being from somewhere
mm-hmm.
and you know, like back then there wasn't no plane, so people stayed with their
mm-hmm.
people, like you stayed
mm-hmm.
with your tribe or whatever
mm-hmm.
and like what does it mean that we're like it's great that we're able to like travel
mm-hmm.
and see places and move places and all that freedom and also like
but there is also, Asia, I was thinking, I'm hearing about the word tribe, right? And there's
mm-hmm.
like, you can create your own tribes too,
sure.
right? Wherever
mm-hmm.
you are.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, it's harder to create that here or now in this particular moment in history. Even if you, I'm not saying that migration and, you know, movements disrupt that. That's part of what it causes. That's part of the trauma of migration, right? That you get this disrupts your connections
mm-hmm.
But you know there's also that thing about like the family that you choose right,
right.
and like communities that you become
chosen
part
family.
Of
mm-hmm.
you know friends like even
mm-hmm.
even an apartment building you know like
right.
where you're literally choosing in like sharing space in such a close way
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know it's not like here your house is like right
mm-hmm.
like miles away from mm-hmm. the next home.
That's
here,
true.
You're literally sharing walls.
You are.
You know?
I mean, people are hearing you sneeze and
right.
cough and probably fart and have sex, and yet you don't know each
you
other's names.
Know
you know,
yeah.
it's so real.
You know, like how can we create a sense of tribe? It's not something that's easy to create. You know, it comes like when you think about a tribe. It's a group of people that are connected because of the land, because of the history, you know, generations. They probably live several generations of people together
mm-hmm.
or close, right? Like, it's not an easy thing
mm-hmm.
to create. Like, it takes action
intention.
And intention
mm-hmm.
and time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's not just time, like, a couple weeks.
Mm-mm.
It's decades, like, you know.
It's like coming together to do this podcast
in
a different kind of way.
Yeah.
I know.
And
like our little tribe here.
Yeah, we have
like,
our little tribe.
I felt so like far away from
yeah.
from all of you.
Yeah.
You know?
And our little
so
tribe
hard.
Is so important because we show each other solidarity when we're together, you know? Like for me it is. I was thinking about what you were all saying about, you know, the migration and the one of the things my mom always said, and, you know, the generational stuff that we're talking about, my parents, when they immigrated to the Mission in 67, they came to an apartment building full of Puerto Rican folks. And everything was shared. everything was shared and you heard music. And the stories that my parents tell me are so different. Exactly. They're so different than my experiences of like moving into a new building, you know, like people sharing their food. And my parents have a very big space in their heart for Puerto Rican folks, because when they immigrated, the mission had a lot of Puerto Rican folks. And so like these were the folks that showed them community, that broke bread with them, introduced them to arroz con habichuelas, which my dad swears he's never had, like any, like the kind he had from his friend on the street, on 21st Street, back in the day, you know what I'm saying? But those were, it is generational, it's times, it's, you know, back then it feels like people didn't fear each other as much, at least in certain contexts. And folks were just like, hey, you're new here. Let me open my apartment for you. You know, here's some meat in our refrigerator. Our apartment door is open. If you need to eat, come get some food. Mm-hmm. That does not happen in my building.
Well, hearing you say that makes me think, like, the word trauma is coming to my mind. I'm thinking about the impact of trauma over generations after generations. But what's particular about our generation, because it's not like, I don't think we're experiencing any more trauma than other generations have experienced, but we have more distractions to numb ourselves from.
True that.
From being able to remember, to go internal, to, you know, spirituality in this generation feels really loose and wonky and not rooted. When I talk about it with a lot of my clients, it's hard for them to grasp it and to understand it. So I think that there's something about our generation where we think we're modern, we think we're ahead of times, we think, you know, we're this and we're that. We've kind of adopted that American ego of being better than past generations. And there definitely have some things that we benefit from now that we didn't get to utilize in other past generations. But I think it has numbed us and distract us from what the generations before us who have experienced trauma, from being able to utilize and remember.
And I think in addition to that, I feel like the generations have before us had just had different priorities. Like when I think about my grandparents, when they moved from Louisiana to California, it was like, we're going to make a better life. So all our daughters are going to go to college. Like it became more about kind of like a more respectable, like we're going to building wealth. Like that was what it was before when they were in the South. It was more about survival. Like they were in the segregated South, sharecropping and stuff. And then like moving to California, it just became a whole different like expectation or priority of what we're doing. So then for my generation, that like leveled up, like you just like go to college, like that type of thing, where it wasn't instilled in us that like strong spirituality or like connection. Like it is and it's not in the same way as it was like in my grandparents' generation.
Well, the demands of these professional, just like the professional lives that we now live, in many ways excuse us from having to adhere or be obligated to the same commitments that past generations have. Because my family will easily take the excuse that I have to work. And, you know, totally okay with me putting work and my professional self over like this or that. And I have to stop myself some time and be like, actually, no, it's not okay. I need to not work and I need to show up for Thanksgiving. I need to be okay with not working the Saturday of that weekend or whatever the case may be. But it's because the priority that was, sort of, I think, given to our generation was go and be professional, go and be an intellectual.
That's what they're proud of.
That's what they're proud of. So that's what we do. But then in that, something was lost as well.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that because like with this job that I just got, I'm working a lot and it's really making me feel sad because there's moments that I want to share with my loved ones. I want to have more spontaneity and be able to spend time, like even with my parents, you know, my friends, and it's just not possible. And then I think like, is this what I work for? You know, this professional lifestyle that my parents really wanted me to have is actually like taking me away from stuff that I really love and people that I really love. you know, so there's those moments that I have. But, you know, and also, like, figuring out, like, I'm alone a lot, but I'm not necessarily alone relaxing or in respite or being internal. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and I really want to learn how to do that, you know, when I am alone.
Relearn.
Yeah, relearn. Mm-hmm. I've lost that. Mm-hmm. You know, the three R's.
I was just thinking now that when we got together before we started recording, we were talking about everything that's been going on in the world. And I think that non-recorded conversation prepped us to have, like, this one that we're having now, in a way. I was thinking, like, oh, it's interesting where we are. Mm-hmm. Like, where is our conversation right now, mm-hmm, in regards of what do we need? You know, connection, mm-hmm, to others, to our communities, to ourselves. And how, like, in the midst of all these catastrophic things, right? Like, that's what it's coming up for us as something that it's important. That, like, we are not talking about earthquake preparedness or, like, you know, like,
yeah,
like, how do you prepare? And somehow connection seems to be, like,
yeah,
what's
in
coming
community with,
yeah,
each other.
Yeah,
yeah,
getting back to the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
You guys better be home if something goes down, because I'm going to walk over to your neighborhood.
I had the same thought. I was like, if something happens, I can walk to Cynthia.
Yeah.
I cannot walk anywhere.
I know. That's what I thought too. Ma, so Marquita's over here. She's closer than Maria Cristina's up the hill. We'll just go meet and then walk up there. Asia, what are you going to do? You going to ride over?
I don't know. We got our own little community.
That's true. You do have
now.
Your little community.
Our own community.
Yeah. That's awesome. Exactly. And your garden.
That's in the works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right, y'all. I think we're back.
Yeah.
It took us a minute to get back to this place. And I don't know. I think we should end on that note.
Yeah.
We came in with the goal of sort of, I don't know, I even feel like less stressed out about all the stuff that's going on. Because now I'm like, okay, Asia grounded us with the three R's.
Yeah.
That's what I'm holding on to.
Me too. I'm going to tell my students about the three R's.
I
know. So in the midst of everything.
Respite.
It is respite.
Relax,
relaxation.
And
remembering.
Oh. So good. Asia, you need to copyright that. Write a book about it.
All right, corporate America.
I can't get away from it.
You're like, they're not going to steal our shit.
Liberate, decolonize.
Yeah.
It's a really hard thing to do.
I know, it's really hard, yeah.
All right, y'all.
All right, so we're going to end with our words.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, it's been so long.
Right?
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Why are you asking me?
Remember the words. But before we go to our words, message us, please, dismantled.
Also, can I quickly just shout out the listeners? Because I've gotten a lot of, like, people who will be like, when is the episode? Or have been like, when is the episode coming back? Like, you guys haven't posted any. Like, I don't realize that people really
notice,
care or, like, are waiting for it.
Yeah.
And so thank you guys for staying engaged and asking us. And that helped, I think, kind of get us back together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're battling the counterforces.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So now we will end.
She's a mess.
with our
words.
Four words.
I'll start off with love.
Is that one of the words?
Yeah.
Yes.
The first
I love it. I love it.
Solidarity.
Discourse.
Liberation.
Yay.
Hey.